We also love design, which brings me to our first, well, sort of a guest, yeah, but more of a featured artist today.
Well.
Jane Connor, thanks for coming in.
Hi.
And chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we're doing something very interesting today, a little bit similar to what we do with Fiona Brooke when we bring her in, sort of give her a bit of a platform to talk about something that she is passionate about. And design is where your heart lies.
It is, it is.
And so it's something called Broad Designs that we're giving a run.
We are, we are. So I was doing that on a Monday night a few months back, mm-hmm, for a brief stint, and I have an agenda. I want to give women in design a voice and a platform, and Joy is a perfect place to be doing that.
It certainly is.
I've been doing a PhD exploring the visibility of women in Australian design for 18 months now. I'm halfway through.
And where are you doing that?
At Monash Uni.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and but I've been a working graphic designer and a design educator for over 20 years. A bit old now, but...
I feel experience like, is the
experienced,
word.
Yes, mature. Giving back. I'm giving back. And, yeah, so this is a great place, Broad Designs, mm-hmm, just to keep that conversation over. And I was bragging to you before, just come back from a three-week trip to New York where I was doing some more research in the area, which was great.
Yeah, so what were some of the things that you took away from the trip then?
Well, I got to talk to some of the big rock star graphic female graphic designers in New York, which no one outside of design has ever heard of. But, you know, I think they're cool, especially Paula Scher from Pentagram. So a woman who has a global career and a global sort of name. I don't know if you've watched the movie. It's a documentary on design called Abstract on Netflix at the moment.
Oh,
she's
no.
featured on there. But I think what I brought back is that the work being done by designers, by women designers in Australia, really is on a par, and that conversation can connect really easily with America. And I also spoke to Debbie Millman, who does a design podcast over there, and hopefully she's coming to Joy during Design Week in March
that
next year and help out with Broad Designs as well.
And, you know, more of a kind of a broad sort of understanding of what design is that kind of changing as well?
Oh, it's in constant evolution, what design does and what it can do, especially as technology evolves, it becomes more tools for what we can do with design. Graphic design as a discipline in itself, absolutely. You know, it used to be just making pretty pictures with text on the printed medium, but now it can extend to things like service design where you can't actually see what you're doing. It's all about strategy and how a customer journey and touch points relate to each other for a brand. So, yeah, it changes a lot.
And, you know, I'm someone that's done a bit of research in my uni days as well, and I know how it can change and evolve over time. So what is your PhD starting to look like now as a result of all this research?
Good question. I love it when people ask me these things because most people just kind of start to look a bit sleepy when you start talking PhD. But my PhD is by practice as well as writing.
Ah,
so three quarters of it is studio practice. So what it's looking like, and which is going to be lovely talking to my guest today, is I'm collecting data and visualising it. So I looked at the pipeline of graduates from graphic design in Australia since the 70s when we started to call it graphic design. And I visualised that as literally as a pipeline. I had students coming into class one day and pouring coloured slushies of each decade into kind of cocktail glasses, and you could see how many men, women and other genders were compromised each of those decades. And so I've been doing a lot of kind of data visualisation through play and interaction. That's kind of what my PhD looks like.
I love that. And for our listeners out there, we have to talk about how we actually met.
Yes.
At a wonderful event at the NGV.
We did.
You know, so is it heartening to have organisations like the NGV and many others supporting design and really, I don't know, taking the baton and running with it?
Yeah, well, it really, design research is the huge push at the moment, and we met at the launch of the Gender Lab at Monash, which was during Design Week this year at the NGV. And again, the universities are starting to really take their research in whatever area and make it a more public thing, not sitting in dusty journals tucked away in libraries, but trying to make it a conversation on Joy and trying to make it, you know, these interactive data visualizations and all that kind of thing. So, Yeah, it's kind of nice that these conversations are opening up. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think especially that universities opening up rather than looking inwardly with what they're doing.
Exactly. And you feel like that is something that's quite modern in a way that hasn't happened before? Or?
Yeah, I do. And that's really how I'm pushing my PhD. I couldn't be bothered doing it any other way. It's all about kind of, yeah, the media wants the content, don't we? And so, yeah, proper research, new research, you know, filling the gap in knowledge, which is what a PhD is supposed to do, is a perfect thing to sort of do that way.
Well, we're going to get our guest. We've got a couple of messages first. We'll get those out of the way.
Great.
And then we're going to have a really interesting conversation. Well, you're going to be leading the conversation all about design. Thanks so much for tuning in to Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine with Brendan and Neil. And we've got Jane Connor in for Broad Designs. And she's going to be taking the reins right now with guest Elvis Richardson. Take it away, Jane.
Thanks very much, Brendan. Yes, so Broad Designs is where I talk to women who design and make sure we hear their voices loud and proud. Today, my guest is Elvis Richardson, artist, investigator and collector. She often explores gender equity in the arts through photography, sculpture and video. Her work is quite conceptual and explores some big questions. Welcome to Broad Designs, Elvis.
Hi, Jane and friends. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being there. This is actually the first time we're meeting over a phone. It's great to talk to you. Now, you've been an artist for over 20 years. I'm keen to know where it all started for you.
Well, I guess it, you know, art always starts it all for me as an artist. I was going to art school, I suppose, which I did when I was about 21 up in Sydney many years ago. But, yeah, I was always good at drawing and things like that, and that's what took me to art school, and then there it kind of opened up. Yeah.
I love to hear those stories of a kid who could draw and never had it discouraged. It was encouraged enough to go to art school. It's always good to hear.
Yeah.
And so a lot of your work crosses over with what I'm doing. I'm trying to visualise gender in design, and a recent survey I conducted pulled out 142 names of graphic designers, female graphic designers, who have contributed significantly to Australian graphic design, but on average people could only name one female designer.
Wow.
And this was surveying industry itself. But so you do the Countess Report, which is a website, which has been collecting data showing the lack of women in Australian art since 2008. It's fascinating. Can you tell us the story about that and the agenda?
Yeah, I can. And it comes from being an artist and studying art. And, you know, I guess when I went through art school in the 90s, we learned about the Guerrilla Girls. They were really big at the time, as they still are, justifiably. If you're not familiar with them, they presented statistics on, like, they had a famous poster, you know, 80% of the nudes in the Metropolitan Museum are women, but only 8% of the artists, that kind of, you know, numbers, statistics that, you know, you can relate to on that concrete level. And that always stayed with me. And I think as an artist, we're trained to observe, and we do tend to look at the world around us and possibly focus in on things of interest. And, you know, I couldn't help but notice, the obvious disparity between, you know, all the great artists we were learning about and, you know, what the student body looked like, which was generally, you know, 70, 80% women.
Yes, and it hasn't changed. Yes. It's been that way for decades.
Very interesting. I haven't been able to go back as far as you when I heard your prime, what you were doing for your PhD, but how interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
And how is the industry reacting to your research, and have you seen it change?
I have seen it change. I guess I was able, you know, what I was doing, you know, kind of was able to ride the wave of general feminism and the conversations around equality that we're seeing in the mass media now that you didn't really see 15 years ago. You know, feminism was over, apparently.
It did its job, yes.
So, like, even bringing up the thing, it was, people weren't kind of that keen on it at first. So I was actually able to do it anonymously at first, which was quite interesting. And that was just because of a cultural thing that was happening at the time where blogs had just come about, and there was the Art Life and the Art Swipe, two other blogs that did reviews at the time, and they were both done anonymously. So I did my, I started Countess anonymously as well, which, you know, enabled me to kind of really be quite open about what I was looking at. And, yeah, eventually I kind of changed that, which is interesting as well because, you know, I've looked into the Gorilla Girls, for example, who have stayed anonymous and you know, that quote, anonymous was probably a woman and, you know, all those kinds of ideas kind of swirled around. I was actually giving an artist talk at BCA and I thought, I really want to tell them about Countess.
Right.
You know, that's what I feel like I've got to share. And so, yeah, ever since then I came out as Countess. Not that anyone probably cared, but it was quite fun at the time, yeah.
Fantastic. And so do you see galleries, archivists, curators literally share stories with you about making an effort for diversity in their shows?
Oh, yeah. So, well, going back to your other question, when I first looked at, when I first started Countess, I was actually very interested in a particular level of gallery. They're called Chaos Galleries. They're members of an organisation called Chaos Contemporary Art Organisation. And they're really funded. They don't collect work. They're just funded to exhibit living artists. And so in a sense, they were kind of part of the ecosystem of art that, you know, I was very interested in. And at the time when I started the blog in 2008, only 40% of the shows in those galleries were showing women. And now it's 50%. So I think that is a real change. And I think those galleries in particular have really responded to the Countess data. Because, you know, they're very implicated in it and, you know, they want to kind of move with the times and kind of embrace those needed changes that need to happen. I mean, we're dealing with institutional, systematic kind of things that don't shift that easily.
Yeah, but you've got a quantifiable result. That's very impressive.
Yeah, I think that has a lot of power in our culture today.
Great.
As much as we... you know, suspicious of statistics and they can get used in different ways. They're pretty simple, the statistics I'm presenting. So, yeah, I think people get them pretty easily and I think that's been a real help, yeah.
Great. And so your work as an artist, your latest work, you seem to be playing detective. Can you tell us about this passion for true crime and how it plays out in your work?
Again, I think I've folded that into being an artist as well, like that idea of observing and searching and looking. When I was a child, I had one of my favourite comic books was Jinty and Tammy and Misty, and there were these English comics, and there were always young girls in school uniforms who didn't have parents who, you know, searched abandoned houses and befriended kind of scary old ladies and, you know, did these things, kind of went out. I guess I'm interested in people and their stories and, yeah, I kind of like to see what gets left behind and the traces and, you know, I guess interpret them. And I find that to be a real drive behind what I do. And the Countess comes into that as well. It is very investigative. You know, I am trying to find something in there, like, you know, find evidence. And I like that forensic aesthetic. And I think if you grew up in the 90s with, you know, all the kind of true crime and that kind of huge flourish of that kind of stuff at the time, yeah, that really fed into my interest as well. Probably a lot of people went to study forensic science.
I think they probably did.
Growing degree or something, I imagine.
Yes, yes. So where do you find your inspiration when it comes to these kind of eclectic and broad themes with feminism, crime, detective work? Where are you getting your ideas from?
I think I have a, you know, I want to see fairness. You know, I feel like, I don't know, I feel attuned to that as a social kind of thing. And as an artist, I've also, you know, the experiences in my life, like, often, you know, mirror what I'm making my work about. Yeah, so personally, on a personal level, I'm adopted, so, like, I had a growing up experience of not knowing, you know, my identity in the way that people understand their identity, very connected to, you know, knowing their parents and things like
that. Yes, yeah, yeah.
So, Yes, I had that whole fantasy world I could construct around that, I think. That kind of attracted me to things. And so, and I think when you are an artist, unfortunately, the economic imperatives, everyone knows artists struggle and you're poor.
Yes.
But when you actually are an artist and you do struggle and you are poor, some of the work I've made has been in response to that. So I collected a lot of images of housing for sale, for example, from Domain and what have you. And, you know, who could argue with me about the national obsession around housing and, you know, what that means and here in Australia? Well, it means something to me too. And I as an artist, you know, and artists need cities, and we come to cities to kind of interact and find our people and, you know, collaborate and do things. But can artists afford to live in cities anymore? Can cities afford not to have artists? I don't know. That's what I'm kind of interested in at the moment.
And have you got some work on show that's showing that that theme at the moment?
Well, I'm going to do it as a gallery project. There's a bar in Lygon Street, and above it is a gallery space. And we're going to, I'm going to do it with a couple of other people, and it's called True Estate. And we open a month. And so I'm going to investigate it as a gallery project. So that way I get to kind of talk to people, bring artists in who are interested in the same themes, and kind of build up. I accumulate over time a kind of story around that and from different perspectives.
Great. And there's an online there's an online presence for that at the moment, is that right? True Estate Gallery?
Yeah, it's true-estate.gallery.
Fantastic. Well, is there anything more you'd like to tell us about this project, or where else our listeners can hear or see your work at the moment?
Oh, I'd really love to share, if it's okay, the fact that with the Countess Project, a year ago when I finished the Countess report and I did the benchmark study where I counted every single exhibition over a 12-month period.
That's a lot of jelly
kind
beans.
Of establish- Yeah, I know, it was crazy. To establish, like, something in the future that you could compare something to, like, so you could go to those, you know, you could see where the change was occurring. I felt that I wanted the Countess to keep going because I felt people gave me the feedback that there was a great need to have that evidence and that data being collected and published. So I've brought on some new younger women to take that conversation over. And also the exciting part of it is that Countess has always been in the kind of business, I suppose, of gender identification in a way, because that's what I've relied on to collect my data. And so our names, like Jane or Peter, are kind of gendered, and I've been able to go, well, Jane's a girl and Peter's a boy, but are they? Do you know
yes.
what I mean? And like that conversation, you know, and those kind of things need to kind of change, and Countess needs to do that as well. So
right.
I've been really excited about bringing some new people in to create situations and strategies that I could never do on my own. And so as a part of that, I'm trying to raise money to, you know, fund us to do this research. We want to create educational materials for high school. We've already identified the resources on female artists to HSC and VCE students, and like under 20% in terms of, you know, some of the things that they specifically have to respond to in the curriculum.
Right.
So we want to address that. And anyway, we're doing a fundraiser through the Australian Cultural Fund. Countess.
It's easy to find when you Google.
Yeah. If you Google us, you'll find us. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Alvis.
You,
my pleasure. Your advocacy for women in the arts is fabulous. As much as we can all get behind it, I think we should. And thank you also to Brendan Neal. It's so great to be with here with you guys tonight.
Absolute pleasure.
I'm Jane Connery, and you're listening to Broad Designs on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.